Okay, it is Rosh Chodesh Elul. I figured we would begin the season with a lighter topic, but an important topic nonetheless. All minhagim are important in some form. Let's begin with the minhag that we're going to start tomorrow morning, and that is the blowing of the shofar through the month of Elul. The source, as you have in front of you, is based on a Pirkei de Rabbi Yezer in Perek Mem Vav. This Pirkei de Rabbi Yezer is cited by the Rush, the Ran, and the Tur. We're going to quote it from the Tur. The Tur says, Tanya, it was taught by Pirkei Rabbi Yezer in the teachings of Rabbi Yezer. Rosh Chodesh Elul, and Rosh Chodesh Elul, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Alei Alei Ahara, come up to the mountain, Sha'azala L'Kabal Luchos Achronos, so you can get the second Luchos, Vaviru Shofar B'machan, and they sounded a shofar in the camp. Moshe ala lahar. Moshe went up in the mountain. Shelo yitu od acher. So they shouldn't make another mistake. So Kadosh Baruch Hu nisalo so. So Hashem had a shofar sound. Shneamar. Aleil him betrua. Hashem made the sound of a trua. Lachen eskinu chazal shiu togim rosh chodeshel b'chol shana v'shana. Now, again, Moshe wanted to make sure they should know that this is the day he's going up. They shouldn't make the same mistake and think he's going to be late. And therefore, Chazal made a takana that we should blow the shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul in commemoration of the events of Moshe Rabbeinu going up to get the second Luchos. Right, 40 days later he would come down again, and that would be Yom Kippur. Now, if that's the whole minhag, then tomorrow should be the first and last day we blow shofar before Rosh Hashanah. However, the Shiboli Aleket notes that this explanation is only for Rosh Chodesh, and the Tur adds the following reasons to include the rest of the month. B'kol ha-chodesh kedei lahazir yisol she'asu tshuva. I think we can all understand the reason for the sounding of the shofar for the rest of the month is to bring us to tshuva, as the Navi Amos says, im yitaka shofar be'ir, that they should sound the shofar in the city and people should not do tshuva. It's in order to motivate us, to remind us that the Yemei HaDin are on their way. And the second thing is kedei la'arvev ha-satan, to confuse the satan. The idea is that the satan is going to think that, you know, maybe it's Rosh Hashanah, he's going to get messed up, he's going to not understand what's going on, and therefore they would blow the shofar in the morning evening. Now, we're going to discuss that we do not blow the shofar in the evening, but certainly we do blow the shofar in the morning. The Rama in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Aleph, where initially the Mechaber cites the Sfarim who say they begin saying Slichos from Rosh Chodesh Elul. The Rama says that the Minhag Ashkenaz is not to do that, but rather we sound the shofar instead. Now the Sefer Rokeach says that in his community, they would sound the shofar for 40 days until Yom Kippur, because their tradition was that Moshe had the shofar sounded each day that he was on the mountain. And the Bach argues that because of the reason of La'arvev, La'arvev ha-satan, to confuse the satan before Rosh Hashanah, there's no reason to sound the shofar during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Again, you got to keep the satan on his toes. You got to keep him, thinking what's going to be, and therefore, some days off, some days on. It happens to be that I always, since we're already in Yemei Elul, and I always like to have a chance to say this vort, this is probably one of my favorite ideas in the Panim Yafos. The Panim Yafos is the Rebbe of the first Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer in the beginning of a Yikra. He says the idea of being Ma'arvev the Satan means that we blow the shofar in so many different ways in different times in order to show our love for the mitzvah. Meaning, what, the Satan's an idiot? He hasn't gotten it for the last 3,000 years that the Jewish people blow the shofar at different times? What are we confusing him? So he explains that what it means is that we blow the shofar in so many different fashions. Minhag, derabanan, deraisa. And when we show our love for the mitzvah, then it is a tshuva mi'ahava. We show Hashem, Hashem, we're doing the mitzvahs because we love them and we want to do them in so many different fashions. And therefore the satan stays quiet and he doesn't litigate against us in the basin of Shamala. Because if he brings up our averos, our sins, they will simply be more zechuyos. Because the Gemara in Yuma says that if you do tshuva out of love, then it turns sins into zechuyos, into merits. And the satan will see, oh, look, the Jewish people are serving Hashem out of love, tshuva me'ahava, and therefore if I say something and I say something bad against them, Hashem will flip all of their actions that they did wrong into mitzvahs, and therefore we have messed him up, and he stays quiet. He writes a similar idea in his introduction to the Aflag and Suvis as well, but this is the idea of mixing up the sata. Now, Rav Kook is recording mitzvos ha-ra'aya on this siman in Shulchan Aruch, and they write, Milvada ta'amim ha-ramim shenemru l'minhagenu l'tkob ma'rosh chodesh el. Besides for all of the exalted and lofty customs of sounding the shofar in Elul, nir lafine as daiti od tam pashat. He says another reason is shehu mimasha kasu aposkim damaschilim b'hilchos Pesach kodem Pesach shoshim yom. You learn Hilchos Pesach, 3 days before Pesach. Hu adin b'hilchos chag b'chag, and you learn the halachos of the holiday on the holiday. Im kein sarach lilmod lamed yom kodem Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, you got to learn Hilchos Rosh Hashanah 30 days before the holiday. Batzikios sarach lilmod b'sidur me'atzman, and therefore you have to learn how to say the proper, how to sound the proper tikios. Im kein sarach atokel lahaschem Rosh Chodesh Elul shulam yom kodem. And therefore, the simple reason, says Rav Kook, of blowing the shofar 30 days before is to the Baal Tokea to get it right and to practice in those 30 days leading up to Rosh Hashanah. Now, what exactly do we sound when blowing the shofar in Elul? Do we sound Tekiah Shvarim Shua Tekiah, or do we sound a full set of Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah Trua Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah Tekiah Trua Tekiah? The Matei Ephraim, which is considered the handbook of the Yom Noraim, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Chaf Ches say that we sound Tekiah Shvarim Trua Tekiah, and that's it. One simple across, a Tekiah, a Shvarim, followed by a Trua and a Tekiah. However, the Bach in Simen Tav Kuf Tzadi Beis writes that if you don't blow the full series, then people may think that you could be Yotze the Mitzvah Tekiah Shofar with only a Tekiah, a Shvarim, a Trua, and a Tekiah. People may say, well, you know, I'm short on time, or, you know, whatever, coronavirus. We got to keep things short. So if we want to do the mitzvah, you know, in Elul, we just blew a Tekiah Shvarim Trua Tekiah. So why can't we do it now for Rosh Hashanah? That should be enough. And therefore, the Bach says that this is why some would argue that you should actually blow a full set of all three different types. Now, the Bach concludes that this is not the minhag. However, the minhag and munkach, as recorded in the Darche Chaim V'Shalom, was to sound a full series of Tashrat, Tashat, and Tarat, based on this Bach. This is also the opinion of the Yalkut Yosef, and it was also the minhag in Frankfurt. That is not the common minhag, though. There is an interesting comment in the Tshuvas V'Hanogos in Chelek Dalet of Rav Sternbach. He says that in his shul, they blow a full set on Rosh Chodesh Elul, because that is the real day of the Takana, based on the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. However, the rest of Elul in Rosh Sternbach Shul, they only sounded Tekiah, Shvarim, Trua, Tekiah. An interesting twist on the minhag. Now, do all the Tekios of Shofar on Elul in the morning need to be perfect, like we would on Rosh Hashanah? Do we need to be so exact? Do you have to correct the Baal Tokeah? Besides the fact that most people are already halfway out the door anyway, but let's say you're sticking around and you hear the shofar to the end, you're paying attention, do you have to make sure it's the right amount of seconds and there's no breaks and everything is perfect that you've done at the end of the day? So Rav Mordechai Gross, is a posek in Eretz Yisrael, he's the Av Beis Din Chanichei HaYeshivos, which is a collection, a conglomerate of different yeshivas and for balabatim and shuls across Eretz Yisrael. So he writes in his Kovetz Pesachim Uchuvos for Elul that these tekiyos must be kedin lahalacha, like regular tekiyos in Rosh Hashanah. And you can't even use a shofar that's pasul. Now this is based on the Bach. The Bach said before, you have to be machmir perhaps for all the tekiyos, because we want people to make mistakes in Rosh Hashanah. And this is the time of tiku b'choda shofar, and therefore it needs to be all right. Now, Rav Menashe Klein, not in the Mishnah Halachas, but rather in a Torah journal called B'Nesivos HaHalacha, volume 24, has a number of comments about Tekiah Shofar that we're going to quote from here and there. So Rav Menashe Klein and Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky is quoted in the Kovetz Halachos on the Yom Noraim, that they both feel that we don't need to be so careful about these tekiyos, and they don't have to have all the dinim of regular shofar, and therefore they hold that you can even use a shofar that's pusel tomorrow morning. Now Rav Shmuel goes on to say that ideally someone bar mitzvah should blow shofar, but if a katan is the only one available who knows how to blow shofar, then during Elul then that can be used as well. Now there's no real status of a Baal Tokeah for tekiah shofar of Elul at the end of the day. And therefore, if you can get all nice tekiahs, then, you know, by all means, go ahead. And if you can't, not the end of the day. Don't stand around there in shul correcting the Baal Tokeah for the tekiahs in the morning. That's the last thing he wants to do anyway before he goes out to work. Now, do you have to stop your tekiahs, your Shmona Esrei to hear tekiahs? You're davening a longer Shmona Esrei. Do you need to stop your Shmona Esrei to hear tekiah shofar as you would on Rosh Hashanah? So, again, the opinions line up again. Rav Menashe Klein writes that one doesn't have to stop the Shmona Esrei to hear the shofar of Elul, and this is in line with his approach from above. And this is also the opinion of Rav Gabriel Tzinner and the Natai Gabriel. However, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky says that it's proper to stop and listen to the shofar, and then this is the opinion of Rav David Harfenis in his Mikdash Yisrael on the Yom Noraim as well. Now, is this a Chovas HaYachid or Chovas HaTzibor? Is the blowing of the shofar something that is for the individual to do, or is it for the community? Meaning, the nafkamina would be, if you are not davening with a minyan tomorrow morning, must you blow the shofar yourself? Meaning, is there a minhag? Are you fulfilling the minhag of shofar if you blow tomorrow morning, or is it just ceremony and there's nothing significant? That's really the question. This is certainly a coronavirus era-related question. Must an individual take upon himself the blowing of the shofar tomorrow morning in order to fulfill the minhag of shofar? Or is there only a minhag to blow shofar when you are with a tzibur? So the Siach Yitzhak is Rav Yitzhak Weiss, who is the Av Basin of Kadelberg, which is a city in Hungary. So he says that his minhag was to blow shofar when davening b'yechidus. This is also the opinion of the Nitzai Gabriel and the Kovetz Pesachim B'Tshuvos from Rav Mordechai Gross. Now, Rav Tzvi Yudah Kook notes in his Hespedim for his father, actually, Rav Kook's Yurtzeit is on, well, today, tomorrow's Friday is Aleph, and then Shabbos is Beis, Sunday. Sunday is Rav Kook's Yurtzeit. So Rav Tzvi Yudah Kook gave a number of lectures about his father that are recorded in a sefer called Gimel Be'elul, which is the Yurtzeit of Rav Kook. So he writes there, Gam az ba'achrona lo rotza levatza mimenu es minhag ha'tekiah b'shofar b'mei Elul. He says in Rav Kook's later days, when he was unable to make it to shul, he did not want to be mevata the minhag of shofar by tefillah shachras. Ach hiskim l'tchos mifnei chashash ha'kaveda al cholim acherim ha'nitzosu v'bayis. However, he pushed it aside because there were other people who were ill in the house and he didn't want to disturb them. Ki yiso darka b'kodesh. And this was the foundation of his holy path, tamid, always, b'chol hanagos hazihiros v'hidurim, in all of his careful chumras and his careful beautifications of the mitzvos, lizar lahadr behem kodem kol shel legrom ayadam hakbeda lacherem, that he should not burden other people. If you're going to blow shofar tomorrow morning in your house, but it's going to bother your wife who's sleeping, then don't blow shofar. Don't do it, or wait till the afternoon. This is, in fact, the recommendation of many of the poskim nowadays, that if you're going to have outdoor minyanim tomorrow morning, and you're going to be davening at, you know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, and blowing shofars are going to disturb the neighbors, or they're not going to know what's going on, you know, the Jews are, you know, getting ready for battle, they're not going to figure out what's going on, then blow shofar in the afternoon, rather blow it at mincha, and not to disturb people in the morning as well. There is a fascinating sheet of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish actually writes in his work on Or HaChaim in Siman Kuf Lamed Zayin, where he says that Tekiah Shofar Rosh Hashanah is only a Chovas HaTzibur. It's only for the community, not for the individual at the end of the day. Meaning a person who doesn't hear Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, who's by themselves, would not be considered a sinner, according to the Chazon Ish. Okay, however, the Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, the great Rav of Memphis, Tennessee, writes in Chelek Aleph, in Simon Shin Sadi Dalid, he there argues that the Torah says that one person blows for the tzibur, and we don't have each individual sound their own shofar during Elul, right? How come we don't have everybody schlep their shofar to shul tomorrow morning, and everybody blow shofar at the same time? It would be adorable, have everybody blow shofar together. So the Torah says we don't do that. We have one person blow for everybody. Therefore, it must be not a chovas hayachid, not a mitzvah for the individual. There's only a minhag to sound shofar and elul when there is a tzibur, when you're together with the minyan. In addition, the entire takana was to sound the shofar in the machane, in the camp, because of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, the whole idea of blowing shofar originally was Betzibor, in the campment of the Jewish people. And finally, he notes that you can simply say, Pok chazi mai amadvar, go outside and look, that people only sound the shofar Betzibor. People don't blow shofar by themselves when they're davening alone. It's just not done, and therefore it is a chova only on the Tzibor. He cites who agrees with him, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Kook, Rav Ruderman, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who all agree that it's only a minhag in the community when davening together with a minyan. This is the opinion of Rav Menashe Klein, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, Rav Tshuva Spahanagos, Rav Sternbach, Rabbi Olbaum. Rabbi Olbaum of Queens, the Minchas Chain, he also writes this in a tshuva as well. He agrees with the Ruvus Ephraim and the classic Sefer Anfield Isha Yisrael. And therefore, we would probably say, certainly, that the blowing of the shofar tomorrow morning does not need to be done by an individual davening alone. You should not feel you're missing out on the minhag, because the minhag does not apply to you if you are not with other people. Now, is there a makeup? And this is also an important conversation, because, as we said before, shofar is normally blown in the morning, but what if you're not going to blow it in the morning? Can you do it in the afternoon? So Rav Menashe Klein and Rav Elyashiv both say that there's no reason to make up shofar at mincha if you don't hear it at shachris. Let's say a person has to run out to work and they can't say it's the end of davening, so they don't hear shofar at shachris. They have to make up at mincha. However, Rav Moshe has a tshuva in the Igros Moshe Orachaim Chelik Dal and Simon Chaf Aleph. He has a number of tshuvos to Rabbi Greenblatt. And in those tshuvos, he says that the original takana was to have shofar in the morning, because that was when more people were around, and to inspire the people for the rest of the day, to send them out in a good mood, to have feelings of tshuva. However, if for some reason someone cannot be at shachris, you can hear shofar at mincha or any other time during the day, and this is cited by other poskim as well. You can make up shofar after shachris. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sif Yud Beis, in our Siman Tavkuf Pei Aleph, that we don't blow shofar at night because de'ein lasos hisoros b'layla. We are not misorer, we don't make awakenings of Midas Hadin, we don't, these are things in Kabbalah. We don't do these types of things at night. And Rav Moshe explains that the evening is not an eis ratzon, it's not a time of where we feel that our tfilos are our answer, we don't feel so connected in the beginning of the night. Right, that's why we only start saying slichos after chatzos halayla, after midnight. Rav Chaim Palashi writes in Moed L'Kol Chai that ideally a person shouldn't practice shofar at night for these reasons, which is not always so easy, because when else are you going to practice shofar if you have a job during the day? But if you need to practice at night, it's certainly not the end of the not the end of the day. Since we're talking about shofar at night and bothering people, the Yalkut Yosef writes in the Chelek Hei that you need to be so careful that when you're going to be blowing shofar around the neighbors at night, are people going to hear it? Find a place quiet and alone and not to disturb other people. Let's make a few more comments about shofar before we bring to an end. Do you need to stand when the shofar is sounded? Generally, we have to stand for Tekiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. The Shlah writes in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, he says, V'yamod be'ema uveyira, you should stand with fear and trepidation of Orestes of Isaiah, B'shas HaTchios, V'yisvada v'yushav al Hashem Elokeinu, have in mind to return to Hashem. This is the minhag according to the Tanya Gabriel. However, it's not the din. And if somebody feels they need to sit for the Tchios of Elul, we can certainly be much, 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 much more lenient if need be. Now, why don't we make a bracha on these Tchios? So you'll tell me what? It's only a minhag. But did you not make a bracha on Hallel this morning? You did, I assume, unless anybody here is Sephardi, which I don't think anybody here is. So we do make brachos on minhagim. So why don't we make a bracha of lishmoar l'tkoach kol shofar on the tekiyos of Elul? So Rav Sternbach asked this question in Chelek Dalad, in the same tshuva, in Kuflam and Gimel, and he asks, why is there no bracha on the shofar of Elul? And even though it is a minhag, right? We just said by Rosh Chodesh, we make a bracha on Hallel. And he says the answer is that we want to distinguish between the tekiyos of Elul and the tekiyos of the mitzvahs of Rosh Hashanah. And if we make a bracha on it, that's going to not only mess up the satan, it's going to mess us up. We're going to be all confused. We're going to arvei klal Yisrael, not knowing what's the mitzvah and what's not. And therefore, we don't want to appear as if these tekiyos might be violating Baal Tosif adding on to the Torah, and therefore we don't make a bracha. Rabbi Greenblatt, in Chelek Aleph, in his Shuvos, says that the Tekiyos of Elul are not the mitzvah, but rather the hachana, the preparation for the mitzvah of shofar. And similar to not making a bracha on a sukkah, you don't make a bracha on a sukkah when you build a sukkah. Why? Because that's the hechsher mitzvah. That's the preparation for the mitzvah. You make the bracha when you sit in the sukkah, not on the building of the mitzvah of the sukkah. You don't make a bracha on getting married. You make a bracha, because that's the hechsher mitzvah for pru or vu, to consummate the marriage and to have children. No bracha on pru or vu, not discussion for right now. Now, those are the halachos. Let's just make an ending comment. And I think this is probably more important than anything else I just said, because again, we're dealing with a light minhag. It's not such a complicated minhag. It's pretty easy to fulfill, and not so many dinim. What if the shofar doesn't affect us? What if we're going to go through Elul, we'll hear the shofar, maybe we won't hear the shofar, but what's going to happen if I get to Rosh Hashanah and I'm the same person I was on, you know, Rosh Chodesh Elul Aleph, and, you know, and I am when it comes to the first of Tishrei? So Rav Yisrael Salanter has a letter in the Or Yisrael. The Or Yisrael are the collections of Yisrael Salanter's letter. In the seventh letter, he says that everything in this world is a product of cause and effect. We all know how true that is when it comes to the natural world. But we would be more likely to succeed if we remember that cause and effect also applies when it comes to spiritual growth. We know, for example, and that we're often personally motivated, i.e. we are caused to succeed materially by some external prod. And that the more momentous the motivation, the greater the effect. So he says, let's take advantage of that for our spirituality. And Rav Yisrael says that the classical impetus and cause of change in this season we are beginning right now has been the blowing of the shofar. But since our hearts can be so unfeeling, and they can be hard as stone in our days, it's hardly enough to move us to tshuva. So, he says, we would do well to make regular trips to the Beis HaMusar, to learn Musar, to study Musar, and to prompt ourselves to tshuva. Doing that, he says, will yield far more significance and far more vital results than it would to just be to listen to the shofar. The shofar of Elul, and everything we discussed for the last 22 minutes, is meaningless unless we're going to combine it with tshuva. And we're going to combine it with serious work, opening up a sefer, listening, cheshbon hanefesh. We have a lot to think about. The last 6 months have certainly, you know, caused us to think about a lot of different things, whatever those things may be. But this is the time to start putting those thoughts to practice. The shofar of Elul is not enough. The Dugna Magid writes in Oel Yaakov, why the shofar is not enough. And in the same line as Rabbi Yisrael, he quotes the Navi in Amos that says, Imitaka shofar b'yir v'amlo yecharadu, can the shofar sound and we are not shaking? But we're not shaking. We're not shaking at the end of the day. We hear the shofar. It's exciting. We start singing to ourselves. But is that shaking us? We're not shaking. So the Dugna Magid says that the pasuk that precedes this is really the answer. The pasuk that comes before this in Amos is, Hayelchu shnayim yachtav bilti im no'adu. Can two people walk together without having agreed? What does two people walking together have to do with the shofar? So the Dubna Magid says that, you know, a flame is more easily able to be lit if the wick has already been singed. That's the minag of the Mishnah Berurah, to light the Shabbos candles beforehand, blow them out before the wife lights them. That's where the Mishnah Berurah gets that minag from. A candle more easily takes the flame if it was already singed. And the same is true with Yiras Hashem and Yiras HaKavod of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The fear and awe is likened to fire. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, in Perek Lamed Tes, the Pasuk says, Cham libi v'kirbi b'hagigi tivar eshti barti b'loshoni, that my heart grows hot within me, and my thinking is like a fire. That there's something connection between Yiras Hashem and a fire. And therefore, only after we've already made Yiras Hashem part of our inner makeup is it easily ignited when we need to get there. We need to already be developing Yiras Shamayim before we get to anything else. We have to prepare the wick. And this is like two men traveling, says the Dubna Magid. Traveling is definitely more pleasant if you have somebody to walk with. If you have somebody who's a companion, the trip is much easier. But what if, as we are all accustomed to, the person sitting next to you on the plane is not your friend, and it's not somebody you want to talk to? Not only can that flight not be enjoyable, it can be unbearable if the person you're next to is not somebody that you're familiar with, a total stranger. And this is what the Navi is saying. You asked why the shofar is not working. Why is the shofar of Elul not working? And the answer is because you didn't work on your heart first. You didn't have the musar and the tshuva combined with the shofar. And why didn't you work it into your hearts? Because you didn't prepare yourself during the month of Elul. And you didn't prepare the wick of your heart so that the fire of Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem can grab hold of it. You didn't bother to make friends with that feeling of Yiras Shamayim. Your companion on the trip of Elul was a stranger to you. You didn't become close with tshuva and Yiras Shamayim. And therefore, you remained a stranger. And therefore, when it came time to blow the shofar, it was a stranger to you. It didn't speak to you at the end of the day. And therefore, yes, it's true that we talked about the minhagim of shofar, and some of us are preparing for shofar to hear, some to blow the shofar, whatever it may be. But all that's going to be meaningless if we don't prepare the wick of our hearts to accept the flame that comes along with that shofar. So the shofar tomorrow morning should be the first step in a process that will get us to Rosh Hashanah, and it should be combined with Avas Hashem and Yerushalayim. We'll end here, and Rosh Hashanah will continue next week.